Welcome to episode 90 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your host Tish and Dr. T. In this episode, we discuss representative retirements, new NRL sin bin rules, and mid-season mayhem, as well as our tips for round 15 of the NRL. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. Welcome to episode 90 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, where we aim to build an online rugby league community for everybody. Every week we bring you the everyday fans' perspective on the biggest news and issues in the world of rugby league, and we break it all down for you in our own unique way. I am your co-host, Dr. T, and joining me is Tish. Tish, I hope you had a good long weekend.
Oh, yes, Dr. T, I had a fantastic...
I'm in Sydney for the Queen's birthday. I hope you celebrated with friends and family and had a spot of English tea.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I did have tea, but unfortunately it was masala tea. not the English brand of tea, but yeah, maybe I should have some tea this weekend. But look, I had a great long weekend. I was on a reconnaissance mission in enemy territory. Went out to Sam Thaliday country, known as Queensland, where... So sort of check things out over there. And one thing I noticed is they do not have a public holiday on Monday. They don't celebrate the Queen's birthday, even though it's Queensland. I think they celebrate it at another time. So pretty interesting right there, I've got to say.
Do you think that affects their productivity? Not having... a public holiday. What do you reckon?
Well, they seem to pull it out around game two of the Origin series. They always seem to win that one. And it could be because, you know, they've sort of, the New South Wales boys, they're like, you know, not training because it's public holiday sort of thing. Where in Queensland, they're getting straight into it. So maybe it has affected us, to say these are the things that Brad Fittler has to look at as the reason why, you know, we've performed so poorly. And it could be the Queen's holiday advantage that Queensland have. So yeah. But look, I love the Sunshine State as a place to visit. Not too sure if it's a place I necessarily want to live, but they're mad about rugby league over there. I've truly got to appreciate the joy that people have around rugby league. A Broncos game, getting tickets to a Broncos game is seriously like something that people look up to. It's like, you know, it's like an Ed Sheeran concert in New South Wales. You know, people go crazy just getting an Origin ticket or just getting a Brisbane Broncos ticket. So, So look, I think you know, New South Wales. Look, the message from our reconnaissance message is, we can't rest on our laurels. We can't rest on our victory. We need to push forward because Queensland, they're coming. They're determined. They're ready. The whole state's behind them sort of thing. So, hopefully, Freddie and the boys, they don't, like we did last year, you know, sort of take game two for granted. You know, we need to win this one because I think the third game is in Queensland. We probably don't want to face Queensland in a decider in Queensland, do we?
No, look, I don't think we want to face anyone in Queensland, let alone the Maroons in a decider.
Yeah.
But look, that sounds like you had an interesting time there. You're right. They are mad about their football there in Queensland. That's the long story. The short story is they're just mad up there.
Yeah, that's right.
No, seriously. They love their footy, and we love that about them. Unfortunately, they've loved it so much in the last 10 years. It's, our State of Origin Blues, they're... Well, they've got a bit of catching up to do, let's just say. And look, they made a good start last week, but you know, it's small steps, baby steps. But look, let's get into, we've got a big show lined up.
Absolutely.
Let's get into our quick review of round 14 results. Mm-hmm. And we'll just talk about the ladder as well. Something interesting happened or would have happened but for 1 point. So let's get into it. Firstly, let's Raiders and Panthers. Panthers won that one 23-22. Of course, Nathan Cleary, again, cool as a cucumber, plotting the field goal. You know, to put them ahead. Rabbitohs 18-16, another tight one against the Titans. Warriors in a flogging against Manly 34-14. The Roosters in a tight one against the Knights 18-16. The Eels in a relatively tight one against the Cowboys 20-14. The Sharks again in a sort of tight one against the Tigers 24-16. The Storm flogging the Broncos 32-16. And the Dragons defeating the Bulldogs 18-16. And look, something interesting would have happened in the NRL ladder, but for the fact that the Dragons won by 2 points against the Bulldogs, whereas Panthers only won by 1 point. You will recall last week that they were neck and neck in terms of for and against, which is a highly unusual situation. Well, something else unusual was about to occur. With all the results going in a particular way, we almost had no change in every single position in the top 16. But that last victory by the Dragons by 2 points,
wow,
means that they do swapsies with the Panthers. Mm. And they're now back on top. So they're on top. Panthers drop to second. Rabbitohs stay at 3. Warriors stay at 4. Storm stay at 5. Roosters stay at 6. Sharks stay at 7. And Broncos stay at 8. And the Broncos are round out the top 8 on 16 points, and 2 points behind are the Tigers. So, look, there's a bit of a spread now happening. And all the way down the bottom there, even though the Eels won, they still are a bit behind. So they're still 2 points below the Manly, Cowboys, and Bulldogs, who are equal second last. So interesting NRL ladder there. 2 weeks in a row of extremely unusual situation, especially around that top 1 and 2 mark. I wonder what's going to happen this weekend. Very, very interesting. So that's the roundup of round 14. But let's get into our six tackles. So here we go with our six tackles. And that was tackle number one.
Yep.
Maroons coach Kevin Walters was blindsided by Darius Boyd's representative retirement call. What's happening there, Tish?
Oh, look, big drama in Queensland regarding Darius Boyd, basically announcing retirement after, I think it was the Brisbane Broncos loss to the Storm, saying that he's retiring from all forms of representative football, effective immediately. So that includes, the Maroons for Origin 2, obviously any sort of rep duties at the end of the season for Australia. But Darius Boyd, you know, an amazing representative career, has been in a lot of winning sides. A bit of a shock announcement, considering, this morning Kevin Walters going on Talkback Radio saying that he was actually surprised about it. So, you know, Darius hasn't really had a discussion with him. The only talks that he's actually had with Darius has been very positive about being a part of the Queensland team for 2018, and certainly very much on Kevin Walters' mind for game two and beyond. But there was a bit of a falling out. I don't know if you knew about too much of the drama, the Dr. T falling out after not being selected in game one. But as the story goes, you know, Darius Boyd found out that he wasn't going to be selected. They chosen Billy Slater over him. So Kevin Walters phoned Darius to obviously explain the bad news, but also to ask him to come down and join the camp as a part of an extended five player injury backup sort of procedure. Darius Boyd said that, look, he doesn't want to hang around for 5 days in camp, you know, particularly if he's not going to be selected. So he decided to go on a holiday and with his family. And then what happens? Billy Slater is ruled ineligible. And then so Kevin Walters obviously goes with Matt Morgan and brings in Kalen Ponga, who is already, eligible or sort of already made put his hand up to be part of that extended squad. And Darius Boyd misses out now game two comes around, or, you know, Queensland lose the first game, and all of a sudden, you know, Darius Boyd announces retirement. A little bit funny, I must say, but a very interesting sort of development. What's your read on this, Dr. T? What do you think is going on up there with Darius Boyd and Queensland?
Well, I had no idea that that was a story, and so are we to blame Trivago for not allowing Darius to, you know, get compensation? I don't know. Look, if that is a situation, that is pretty sad. Considering how much Queensland have harped on about their unity and being good guys and all this sort of stuff, but that is kind of unusual. I mean, you would think that unless you know that you're going to retire, you should make yourself available. Once again, how many times have we heard New South Welshmen be blasted for doing similar things and not showing, you know, 100% commitment to the cause? You could argue that Darius's kind of decision to go on family holiday kind of thing suggested to the Queensland selectors that, you know, he's not really keen to not be making yourself available just in case, especially when Billy is renowned for having injury sort of issues. Says, you know, either he sort of saw the writing on the wall that he wasn't going to be selected. And so for Kevin to sort of say, surprises me that he's taken this decision, sort of indicates that, yeah, there's a lack of communication going on there with Kevin and some of the players. Maybe it's not just Kevin. Maybe it's just some of the older players kind of thinking, look, I can see the young blokes coming through. I can see Valentine Holmes and others. They have more of a right to stake their claim over there at fullback. I don't know. I just find it really ironic that if this were to happen to a New South Welshman, we wouldn't hear the end of the fact that there was dissent in the ranks, and it just shows that this is a poor kind of, you know, they're not made for Origin, and they're not kind of, you know, we don't have the right Origin culture and all that kind of thing. And yet it happens to Queensland, the captain, before a ball is kicked in anger, at the beginning of the Origin series, declares himself ineligible for all representative football, and one of their former great players, Darius Boyd, during the series, declares himself or retires from rep football. I smell a rat up there. I'm sure. I know you went up there in Brisbane, Tishbo. I think I smell a rat in Denmark, because it smells like. It smells like the kind of Shakespearean kind of tragedy. Something's going on up there. I just find the spate of retirements this year has been unbelievable. Something is going on. I think there is another side of the story that we're not hearing. It's great for Blues fans, because we get to see the changing of the guard probably a year or two ahead of time. But it does look unusual as an outsider. That so much change is happening, and it's like a domino, isn't it? Once the first few have fallen, everyone else seems to be pushed along as well. So,
yeah,
I don't know what to make of this apart from now. I think something's going on. I just can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah. Well, the way, you know, Darius is a man of few words. Apparently what he did tell the Courier Mail was his line was, "I'm done with rep footy." Which is it? This is what he said. So, and then you know, Kevin Walters, you know, his quotes was, "I'm not too sure what's happened with Darius. I had a conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, and every indication was that he wanted to keep playing. Again, I think we wouldn't have had any problem using him, and I said that to him. If he gets to his game back up to the level that he can be at." And certainly for the opening 40 minutes on Sunday against Melbourne, he was back to his best and he was really good. So, end quote. So that was Kevin Walters. So he definitely had him. And, you know, Billy Slater, I think he's back from injury this week. Still lots of doubts in his game. And, you know, look, I just don't think it's fair for... Look, these players have been great players. They should obviously, you know, have their retirement the way they want it, sort of thing. But I think with Cameron Smith and Darius Boyd and some of the others just sort of retiring weeks out before the Origin series, and in this case during the Origin series, I don't think it's fair to the Queensland selectors who have gone with them in the past, because, you know, frankly, you know, the Queensland team, they're trying to pick their best squad to win this series. It would be in their favour to know who's playing, who's not playing, before all these announcements are made, sort of thing. And I think that's at least with Cooper Cronk, he made it, you know, he told them a year out that he is retiring from representative football. So did Jonathan Thurston. And then, you know, so then, and in those positions where people have taken over, there's been a bit more stability over the selections, because we've known that for a year, you know, Queensland have been able to plan out their team accordingly. But with sort of these shock retirements halfway through, you know, it feels like Kevin Walters, rather than focusing on producing a really good team for Queensland to face New South Wales, he's trying to just figure out the, you know, 17 players he could pick, because everybody seems to be retiring on him, which is a very, very sad situation. But hopefully, you know, Darius Boyd's still playing for the Brisbane Broncos. Hopefully he still has a great rest of the career, and hopefully Kevin Walters can pick a very competitive side for game two.
Yeah, all right, on that note, let's go to tackle number two. So there's been a new NRL rule change regarding the sin bin and for foul play. Tish, what's the latest on this?
Oh, okay, well, yeah, so Peter Biddy and Todd Greenberg were out there today. So this is, you know, we're recording this show on Tuesday, but basically they come out and sort of made a couple of new rules. So the first one that we're going to talk about here at the moment is that the referees will be given discretion to sin bin players for serious instances of foul play, even if the victim is still able to continue so what this will happen is so effectively, what they're trying to stamp out is the sort of the late hits that playmakers get when kicking the ball. Previously, you know, they could rule a penalty, but that was about it. But now the referees, starting immediately, will have the ability to sin bin a player if they tackle somebody kicking the ball, if they hit them late, sort of, when they've sort of, blindside hit them. I think they call it a dog hit or something like that. So that's been completely... So in other words, if you end up doing that, you get caught, the referee can send you off for 10 minutes. Obviously, you still be put on report. And, it will only... Yeah, so that's what will happen. During the actual press conference, Todd Greenberg did say that he did stress that the sin bin will only be used for serious incidences, and there will be no impact on tough, fair, legal play. So, obviously, you know, if you're a little late and you couldn't get out of it, you know, they're not going to send you off for that. But if it's intentional, if they see that sort of act, they're sending players to the sin bin. So, Dr. T, you know, for years we've talked about, lots of people talked about, let's use the sin bin a lot more. This year, the sin bin has been going into overtime. We've been using it on every game, basically, for all sorts of things. Now we're extending the rules to allow more sin bins to happen. Have we gone sin bin crazy in the NRL, or is this a fair rule the NRL have played out? What do you think?
Well, it's a good question. I think we know what I've got. We will have gone crazy when you get sin bin for sneezing on Cameron Smith.
Yes.
which is where we're headed. I think we're almost there. We're halfway there. Look, I tend to agree that there needs to be some sort of a little bit of a further punishment than what is currently meted out regarding sort of foul play against kickers and things like that, because you can get quite serious injuries when you're getting kicked. But you know, if you're a halfback and you're kicking the ball and you're vulnerable. I mean, remember there were kind of rules around, new rules around tackling midair, and good reason for that as well, because you'd find, you know, you could get someone as a battering ram getting in there and deliberately toppling someone over, which could lead to neck injuries and all that kind of stuff. So on that, in that perspective, I get the principle behind it. What I don't get is why it's an imprecise decision, a definition of you know, something that's going to give referees more discretion to influence play than what they've already got, which is already annoying the hell out of fans. To allow referees to now have more power to decide games by sin binning players who they deem have, you know, put kickers into dangerous positions or hit them late or high or whatever. The only way this will work is if the definition in the rule book is absolutely precise, so there's no variation and interpretation around what does serious mean. That's the thing. When I start hearing things like it's only for serious situations, well, that's not a pretty clear legal definition in the sense of the rules of the game. It needs to be clearer. It needs to be, you know, that something about the, you know, the timing. And you've got to be very clear. If are you going to simp in every player who's a bit late? Like sometimes it is literally a, you know, this is a game of inches. It's a game of milliseconds sometimes. And sometimes it's just unlucky that players get hit late without any malintent. And now should those players get simp in? I don't think so. And so then are you defining what's simp binnable in this context as intent, and then are you expecting referees to determine the intent of, say, a Fifita or a you know, I don't know, or Moses Mbai, pick a player who is good at sort of charging down and that kind of thing. You know, how are you going to define that? So to me, the difficulty in defining these things makes it a really silly rule. We are over regulated enough as it is now. We're just giving referees more and more power to you know, change the direction of the game and influence the game too much. So I think on that front, I am really concerned. Titch, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would agree. I think the word that I'm looking for is consistency. I think it's very hard to be consistent at a rule like this without, as you've drawn out there, to have it all drawn out, to have the rule precise. It's very hard to be consistent, and you know, we have to think about it in these sort of terms, you know, when you're setting up rules and regulations and stuff, is what is the you know, where do we want to go on the error side of things? Do we want to get it wrong and have players that shouldn't be sin binned, or do we want to be that sort of thing where you know, where we've got not enough sin bins happening? So like, what I mean by that is, like, you know, if the rule is clear and we just say, you know, you've got, you know, any hit that happens, you know, 3 seconds after the ball has left the foot, you know, we've got the technology here to sort of count down when the contact is made, sort of thing. And, you know, and then you could say, you know what, by that definition, even though you were just, you know, 3.1 seconds as opposed to a player who's 4 seconds out, you know, you are still simping because you haven't listened to the 3% rule, sort of thing, or the 3 second rule. You know, like, I think it needs to be drawn out like that for it to be effective, because at the moment the discretion thing causes those inconsistencies, because quite frankly the refs do have too much power in that way. They sort of they don't have any guideline as to when to blow this in, so they kind of just blow it more on the emotion and the circumstances of that time. And then later on in the game, the same incident occurs with the opposing team. The game is on the line, and now you're hesitant to actually make a call like that. So you don't, or you make a call like that, and you know, perhaps the team that didn't play the you know, perhaps the wrong team wins at the end of the day, sort of thing. So that's where the problem lies, I think, is the, I think the nature of the rules that we have in rugby league are all open for interpretation, and I think it needs to be a bit more solid, and then you just got to let players play within those rules, and, you know, judging on the fly, I don't think really works, and I think that's that's what the NRL administrators seem to be doing, and I think that's what the referees seem to be doing as well. Just spur on the moment sort of decisions, and I think, look, I think it's good for the protection and the player welfare side of things that they're at least looking at it, but I think, I also think that they need to place a lot more thought on how it is going to look and how it's going to play out before they end up making these rules.
I agree, and I'm going to have the final word, if you don't mind, Tish, on this.
Oh, yeah, because, absolutely, go for it.
Because I think I completely agree with you. They need to think about the consequences of this. We keep talking about unintended consequences. They think they're doing the right thing, but then if you want an example of where things might play out and what it might look like in reality, there's a little game called Rugby Union that you might want to look at. This is where we're headed if we're not careful. A message for Todd Greenberg and the NRL. If we wanted to watch Rugby Union, we'd all take a Valium and switch the channels. I don't want that situation. We want to enjoy our game. It's an exciting game. It brings the best out of our athletes. Let's not overregulate. Let's not give too much power to the refs. It's bad enough we've got two refs. And isn't it a refreshing change when we see in rep football, especially in the World Cup, etc., in international games, back to the one ref? It just feels so fresh the way it used to be. So look, on that line of thinking, let's move on to tackle number 3. All right, we're talking about international football, and there is a big game coming up, New Zealand versus England in Denver, and New Zealand have got some selection nightmares, and we're going to talk about that. They've got a few retirements, and they've got escapee. I'll let you cover the retirement. So the big one, I got to say, is former captain Simon Mannering has announced his retirement ahead of the new international season this year, which, it's good that he's done it. He's allowed some of the young blokes to be selected. He's done the right thing. He's always been, I think, a gentleman compared to some of the other players. He's always had a lot of respect, I think, of his fellow players and competitors across the ditch here in Australia. So Simon Mannering, I think, goes with the Rugby League Republic respect. I think he retires. He's had quite a bit of success as captain. So Simon Mannering is the first one, but what else is going on with new coach Michael Maguire? He's got a bit of a headache.
He does. He does. Look, on the eve of the Denver Test match against England, the historic, sort of Test match that's happening in Denver, Colorado at Mile High Stadium, June the 23rd, so we're not that far away. Three players, including Simon Mannering, as you've alluded to, but also Russell Packer and Ben Madalena of the West Tigers, they have also announced their retirements from representative football. Of course, great players for New Zealand, part of the squad of the 2008 Rugby League World Cup champions, when New Zealand became the first team, basically became the world champions, the very first and only New Zealand team to ever do that. So look, a lot of retirements and, a lot of these to be expected. I think Russell Packer and Ben Madalena have actually not been too much in the selection talks recently just because of their age and, where they're at in their careers. But look, another potential nightmare, and this one has big sort of consequences, but it's been reported in the Sydney Morning Herald that Samoa has made an audacious attempt to bring probably the star player of New Zealand and current Warriors captain Roger Tuivasa-Sheck into their fold in the upcoming representative round. Roger has played 16 test matches for New Zealand, and he's basically a certain starter against New Zealand. He's probably likely to become captain. However, the 25-year-old was born as a Samoan, so the Samoan Rugby League, sort of with the a bit with the a bit of the precedences happening with some of the Tongan players defected from New Zealand, you know, has started talks with him. And, you know, Matt Parrish, who's a Samoan coach, has actually even admitted to speaking to Roger. And, you know, he's said that there's always been hope. You know, he's Samoan. He's proud of his Samoan heritage. And he's even told him in the past that he would be delighted to play for Samoa if he ever found the opportunity. So could we see Roger Tuivasa-Sheck actually playing for Samoa? And then what if that was to occur, based on the fact that you've got all these retirements, how does that look for New Zealand Rugby League? They had a disappointing end to the Rugby League World Cup, going down to Tonga and Fiji, of course Fiji in the semi-finals, as well as Tonga in the in the group rounds. How does Roger leaving New Zealand, how does that affect New Zealand moving forward there, Dr. T?
Well, it's going to be a huge hole to fill. It was bad enough when Tamalolo, you know, defected. But for RTS, the Shekster, the Shekmeister, the Shekinator, for him to defect as well to Samoa, look, that would be, I wouldn't say that it would be the final nail in the coffin for New Zealand Rugby League, but they would have to really dig deep in their juniors reserves to basically, it would be a changing of the guard. And I think, given what we've seen with State of Origin, but also at Kangaroos level, we're going to see this year a big, big changing of the guard with some of the players, the key players that have been retiring recently. So I think New Zealand will be going along the same lines. And I think what should happen is New Zealand just has to let this play out and just ask him the question, do you want to play for us or not? You know, no pressure, no pressure tactics, no extra set of steak knives, or, you know, like let him think about it in peace. It's a very important decision. It's one that he has to, you know, he has to go with his gut and his heart. You know, basically any other organ except for the brain. And look, let him decide. And once he decides where his heart lies, you know, support him and be done with it, because what's happening in International Rugby League is unprecedented. And the fact that this has even come up as a news story is a testament to what happened last year in the World Cup with Tamalolo and others. And I think this was we've got to let it play out naturally. And there will be others, and there may even be others from, of Australian heritage that will have questions asked of them in terms of who they where their loyalties lie. You know, I'm guessing Tedesco as well. You know, we saw how he played in Origin. We also realize that he played for Italy in the World Cup. So this, you know, he's also going to have to make a decision about whether he sticks with his country of birth, or whether he goes with his, the country of origin in terms of his parents and grandparents. So it's a tough one, and we're going to see this play out a few times until we settle on a kind of a rough kind of rhythm and the rules and everything settled. But yeah, this is going to be huge news if New Zealand don't have Roger. He's been going very well for the Warriors. It remains to be seen what happens if he defects. So I have no way of knowing one way or another where he will go. All I got to say again is we've got to let this play out, because he's in a tough position. I can't imagine what kind of position he'd be in, and what decisions, what's going through his mind. So Tish, some New Zealand headaches for Michael Maguire. Coming in his first year of coaching New Zealand, and he's got to deal with not even knowing who his players are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think you could empathise with Kevin Walters here. You know, fullbacks these days are so hard to figure out where that's they want right. to be. But look, as a fan of International Rugby League, I think it would be fantastic to have RTS represent Samoa Samoa kind of sort of fell away. Well, I mean, they've been a very strong, they've been probably the strongest in many ways of the Pacific nations that are rising. However, they kind of fell away at this World Cup. And, you know, they've sort of always had lots of really good, solid players, NRL quality players. But where they've kind of lacked is that sort of, next level up player. And I think Roger is certainly that. Plus, he plays in a fullback position, a very, you know, part of the spine. And I think that's probably where there's been a bit of a weakness. And not just with them, but with other Pacific nations. You know, they've always seemed to have good forwards, good back line. But, you know, where the spine's probably been the weak point of all the Pacific nations. Tonga actually have picked up some really good playmakers who are playing sort of, you know, NRL or on the fringe of NRL. So I think that's why their squad has been doing well. And I think Roger joining Samoa is certainly going to boost them. I know, you know, Anthony Milford, for instance, is also Samoan eligible. So, you know, I know if they could scalp them to if they could convince these two who have Samoan heritage to actually play for Samoa, I think it really boosts their lineup a considerable way and brings more interest in international rugby league, which is good. Now, on the flip side, though, you are also weakening New Zealand quite a bit with a lot of these players defecting away from New Zealand. But there are lots of great eligible players for New Zealand. And, you know, I think, you know, Benjamin Marshall kind of said it, that he'll always be eligible for New Zealand. You know, his brother is now also playing for the Bulldogs. Look, I think you need to have Benji back in the fold for New Zealand. And I think that having a player, an elder statesman like Benji, I think it'll actually attract and might convince players who are on the fence and eligible for other players. I think giving them an opportunity to play with a player like Benji Marshall might be a incentive to try to keep them with New Zealand. And I think that's where New Zealand have gone wrong a little bit. I think they're trying to go for too young too quickly. And they've really picked players that really perhaps didn't really understand that loyalty factor with representative football. And I think that's why they've had the situation that they're in. But let's hope they kind of, they can bring it back, because, you know, a competitive test between Australia, New Zealand and England, they've been the stable sort of fixture for international rugby league. And I think that is also a very important part of international rugby league that needs to continue. So, that's all I got to say about that. I think we should move on. What do you think?
Let's move on to tackle number 4.
Yeah.
All right. New rule. We've got salary cap exemptions for players injured during representative games. So Tish, what's the change that has been implemented or will be implemented by the NRL?
Okay. Well, if you thought the first rule change was complicated enough, get ready for the really complicated one. But look, I will read word for word basically what it says on the NRL website about this second rule change, you know, in the one day. So the NRL, you know, really busy with the rule book this week, but here we go. So a new rule will allow that if a player suffers a long-term injury while participating in a representative fixture, clubs will be able to sign a replacement player as well as access a salary cap exemption for a portion or all of the replacement player's value. The cap exemption will be on a dollar-for-dollar basis compared to the injured player, up to $350,000. So, Dr. T, does that make sense?
I lost you there. No, look, in principle, it just sounds like that you will be getting an exemption is the main thing. What was the other one? You'll also be getting a free set of steak knives, was it? What do you get? If you'll be getting an entry into the lotto. I don't know. Look, I think it kind of makes sense. It basically is saying you'll get an exemption and you'll be allowed to go looking for another player, to fill up your squad. Makes sense. Surprised that hasn't been there before. I mean, the way I see it, if you're injured, even if you're injured while you're mowing the lawn, it shouldn't really matter. You're still covered by, you know, the insurance. You're still covered by the player's salary. this is always going to be an issue where there's a misalignment between sort of club-based football contracts and representative duties, where anything can happen, and oftentimes you get a lot of injuries happening during the bigger representative sort of fixtures and or tournaments. So it makes sense that if clubs who are paying their players, you know, if one of their players gets injured, that you'll find you should be able to find a way to overcome that, and without being penalised for the fact that they got injured. Kind of makes sense, and in fact, I'm surprised that there hasn't been a provision for this before. But to me, this is a righting a wrong of the past. That's my reading of this.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll break it down to you as an example. You know, if you're a club that has a player that's playing State of Origin and you're paying that player $300,000 for the year, and then that player gets injured during the Origin game and he's going to be out for a year, then you'll be able to sign a player, a replacement player, and you'll also get a $300,000 exemption. So it gives you $300,000 more in the cap that you could spend. So obviously you'll use that to get the replacement player, but you could also, you know, either give all that money to the replacement player or decide to sort of, you know, sort of play with the numbers a little bit to try and, you know, try and get, you know, trying to get that replacement player's value back into your club. So I think it is good because, you know, players, you know, clubs make significant, you know, investments into these players. These players sort of also, you know, as they become representative players, they sort of ask for more, so it's more expensive to keep representative players, and then, you know, you have your rep player injured, and then all of a sudden your chances of the finals dwindle dramatically. So I think this is a great move. I suppose, you know, if you've got, I mean, where the interesting thing would be is that if you've got multiple injuries, you know, if you cobble out the Penrith Panthers, St George Dragons, Brisbane Broncos, Melbourne Storm, you know, who've got four or more players in your lineup, and all of a sudden you have a couple of major injuries during the State of Origin season, it does, yeah, it's going to make a big impact on your finals play. So yeah, but we'll see how that all plays out. And again, there could be some unintended consequences that we haven't seen with any new rule, and let's hope this one though stays controversy free, unlike the other decision.
Absolutely. Tackle number 5. Mid season mayhem, Tisha. The June 30 deadline is fast approaching, which means that there will be a big reshuffle for a bunch of players. Who are the biggest names at the moment that are being bandied about for mid-season switches to other clubs?
Yes, okay. So, look, there's... you know, June 30th is the deadline. There's apparently some sort of deadlines that you have to get all your players signed up and eligible and signed and all those kind of dramas and paperwork that needs to go. But it also has left a few clubs that are in precarious positions because they're sort of exceeding the salary cap at the moment, or a little bit over or a little bit under. The big club, obviously, that everybody's been talking about is the Bulldogs, and some of their players have been signed away, such as Moses Mbai for the Tigers, and I think Aaron Woods has already been signed for the Sharks. Now, based upon this June 30th rule, it means that, you know, either these two players or any other of the players that the Bulldogs have been signing away or have moving to other clubs, these players may need to move so the Bulldogs can actually get into this rule before June 30th. These players might have to move before the end of this month or, before the end of June 30. The big talk is Aaron Woods. He could potentially, according to a Fox Sports journalist, could be playing for the Sharks this weekend. So Aaron Woods, you know, last year was a Tiger, now a Bulldog, and could be a Shark as quick as this week. And of course, Moses Mbai also could be playing for the West Tigers before the end of this month. I think the Morris Twins have been signed away as well. So whichever club that they've been eligible for, they might need to defect. Another club that's also in a bit of a drama is Manly, and there might be a couple of players. None of them which are DCE. So I think DCE is probably the only one certain to play for Manly. But a few of the other players might need to shift so that they can get their salary cap books in order as well. So So some big sort of changes. I suppose the big question is, will this or will it not help the Parramatta Eels from not finishing up on the wooden spoon there, Dr. T?
Well, who knows? I mean, the fact that the Bulldogs are only one win away from the wooden spoon, and they're offloading some of their key players is not a good sign at all. It is a sign that they're rebuilding, which is a good sign, but that's a medium-term effect. I don't think that there will be a short-term positive effect of that. If anything, it'll cause more disruption. Parramatta might benefit, unless, of course, the Bulldogs are offloading because they want to make a play for Jared Hayne or someone like that. We don't know. Or maybe they, one approach might be, you've lost the Moses, but do you want another Moses? Do you want Mitchell Moses? Maybe there's a case for that because I think the experiment worked a little last year, but at the moment it's not really working. In fact, Mitchell not even playing first grade this weekend or last weekend. So there are some issues with a few players in the Eels that maybe they might be considered for going out into the open market with a bit of a swapsies with the Bulldogs. So but a lot happening, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with some of the key players. Some of them, I think Moses Mbai has been on the cards for a while, though. And Aaron Woods, a bit disappointing considering he just moved across. For him to go mid-season to the Sharks is, what does that mean? I mean, how offended should you be if you're a Bulldogs fan that you've got a pretty much almost a test or representative front rower coming to your team, and then within 6 months they want to go? What does that mean, and what's going on in the Bulldogs? What are your thoughts?
They've got some problems. The other scalp that they've major player that they've also signed is Kieran Foran, and he's injured, and he's had several clubs, Parramatta being one, Warriors being another. So, and of course, he started across as Burnley. So, I think the Bulldogs, they just have to get through this season, I feel. It's been, a lot of people have still sort of blamed Des Hasler. I don't know if it's 100% his fault with all these dramas that are going on. But look, they've got a new coach in Dean Pay. They've got so many issues with their squad. They just need to, I think, get to the end of the season, restock where they've got. Hopefully by the end of 2019 they can be back on track. But this is what happens when you don't plan properly using your salary cap. You end up in a situation where you've got so many players that are there or not there. Of course, the Bulldogs have also had dramas at the board level as well. So I think that's another thing that happens at a club where you've got infighting within the club in terms of who runs the club and who doesn't, different factions wanting their say and not having their say and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden you've got these sort of dramas. So let's hope for the Bulldogs. They're a great club. They're a club that we love to beat and hate it when they beat us. But as a West Tigers fan, so I think, but it's, a strong competition has strong sides, and it has the best players playing for each side, and it has an evenly matched competition. Let's hope that the Bulldogs can play their end of the bargain and start to rebuild. So that's all I could say. I don't know what's happening, but I just think that needs to happen. And it's been good for the Tigers. We'll get Moses Mbai coming in. We've got Reynolds already in our club, who's starting to play a little bit and doing okay. In his recovery. So I think, I think we've been one of the major benefactors out of the whole situation.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, that's the mid-season mayhem. So let's move on to tackle number six. And this is the NRL Round 15 previews and tips. So, look, we did mention the results from last weekend from Round 14. And basically, I got six and you got five. So I'm slowly making my way back. So you're on 61 currently and I'm on 55.
Okay.
And now we're on to Round 15, another full round. Mm. And some very interesting matchups. It might be a tight one. So let's go. Eels versus Rabbitohs. I am confident the Eels will win.
Oh, look, I am confident the Rabbitohs will win.
Yeah, maybe I'm not so confident. Cowboys versus Warriors. I'm actually thinking, well, this will be interesting because we're going to have some players out with representative duty.
Well, there's no Origin squad at the moment, and I don't think they've named the New Zealand squads yet, so not quite yet. I think this is a rep involvement free round sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, a rep independent round.
Yeah,
all right. Well, I'm tipping the Warriors anyway. What about you, Cowboys and Warriors?
Yeah, look, I think Cowboys have been underwhelming, and I think the Warriors have been in and out of form, but I'm going to tip the Warriors.
Roosters versus Panthers. Now, this is an interesting one because the Panthers kind of stumbled a little bit. Well, both the Dragons and the Panthers stumbled against lowly rated opposition. And the Roosters are on their way up, and they've got some of their key players are firing, Tedesco, etc. I'm actually thinking this will be a bit of an upset. Roosters to win this one.
Okay, yeah, look. I'm going to stick with the Panthers, actually, in this one. They've been playing great. They've got representative players now that are showing their class. And, you know, it'll be a tough battle, but I think the Panthers can do it.
Bulldogs versus Titans. Look, the Titans were unlucky against the, who did they play? The Rabbitohs on the weekend. They were only 2 points behind. Some kind of indecisive play at the end there. Sort of worked against them, but they've got some very good talent. They, you know, Ryan James is absolutely killing it up there as captain. I think the Titans will defeat the Bulldogs.
Okay, well, I'm actually going to go with the Bulldogs in this one. I just feel that the Bulldogs, yes, they've had they're a solid defensive side. I think that will frustrate the Titans. Even though they're not that great with attack, I think they'll be able to pull out some tries out there. So Bulldogs for mine in that one.
All right, Dragons and Seagulls, and despite the fact they sort of stuttered at the end there, I still think the Dragons are playing a level above some of the other teams, including Manly. So the Dragons will win this one.
Yeah, look, I think this is a pretty easy one to go for. The Dragons, they're not choking this year. They're the real deal. The real deal will take it out of the Seagulls. Who have struggled and I think will continue to struggle.
Sharks and Broncos. So this is probably going to be my match of the round. I think this could go either way, but I'm landing on the Broncos to win this one just because I don't like the Sharks. No. I actually think, yeah, look, the Sharks have been sort of plodding along and getting the job done, which is interesting. But I think the Broncos are due for something special, and they've got enough players that played Origin. Perhaps they were a bit fatigued after that Origin bout, you know. Mm. And I think with a bit of a fresher kind of pair of legs, you've got players like McCulloch, etc., who are going to, you know, relish that opportunity to have a bit of an extended break between games. So I think the Broncos will defeat the Sharks. It'll probably be a bit of an upset. That's what I'm tipping.
Yeah, look, I don't think the Broncos have had a great season so far this year, just in the top eight at the moment, but I think they have been turning it around. Having said that, I think the Sharks are actually pretty much on fire at the moment. So I'm going to take the Sharks in this game. I'm also counting on the voodoo magic of Shark Park sometimes, where things go crazy. So that's why the Sharks have won.
Fair enough. Knights versus Storm. I'm banking on the hoodoo. as you mentioned, of a different nature. The Knights, I think, will cause a boil over and defeat the Storm. I don't know what it is about the Knights that even when they're bottom of the table, they really give it to a couple of teams, and the Storm is one of them. Maybe it's a style of play. Maybe it's the blue jersey. I don't know. what is it about the Knights? But I'm tipping an upset here. I think despite the fact that they defeated the Storm, the Broncos quite readily, I think the fact that the Knights kind of stayed close to the Roosters, who themselves are on fire, to me indicates that they're kind of almost there. They just need to tweak a few things and they'll be back on their winning ways. So the Knights for mine.
Yeah, look, the Knights are playing well and I think they're doing really well this year. But the return of Billy Slater, I'm tipping the Storm.
All right, and Tigers versus Raiders. So, look, I've been tipping the Tigers lately. And they haven't been delivering.
No, they have not.
And with Benji Marshall injured as well, I think the Raiders are due for a win. And remembering that the Raiders almost gave it to the Panthers, who were top of the table at the time and were themselves on fire. Yeah, I don't know. I think the Raiders are a bit inconsistent as well. So this could go either way. Both of these teams have been a bit inconsistent this year, although the Tigers started off consistently and have sort of dropped away. So they've who knows what's going to happen, but I'm tipping the Raiders on this one.
Okay, well, look, this is actually a game the Tigers have been looking forward to for the whole season. I'm going to tip the Tigers because, you know, we get destroyed. Sorry, well, I'm tipping the Tigers because the Tigers get destroyed every year against the Raiders. We get destroyed, smashed by them, losing by 60 points or more sometimes. So this year, the new-look lineup, Ivan Cleary's men are going to be fired up for this game. It's at Campbelltown, and it's going to be a great day for a Tigers victory, I say.
All right. And that wraps up our podcast. We've got you can catch us on Gmail, rrepublic@gmail.com, on our website, on iTunes, on Facebook. Check us out. We're there. We're pretty much everywhere. Like our page on Facebook as well and share our posts. Check out our – what else? What did I miss? iTunes, did I say that? I said that. And that's it. That's also all we got time for. Tish, over to you to wrap this up.
Well, Dr. T, thank you for another amazing episode of the Rugby League Republic. It's been fun delivering it to you. I hope you guys have had fun listening to it. But unfortunately, that's all the time that we have on this edition of the Rugby League Republic. We're your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.